Blog Talk Radio.
My sisters, and welcome to the PRF table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. Also sitting here hosting alongside of me at the table is the woman everybody knows as Mary Ann Williams, more affectionately known around the table as Mama. Mama, good evening to you.
Good evening, my son, and good evening, my PRF family, and just glad to be with you this evening. And just happy
Amen.
That you're here with us. Amen.
We really are, because to be honest with you, we really cannot take for granted the people, the many people that listen to us on Thursday. I mean, I'm just ecstatic that we have over 7,000 people between our two shows, the 4 p.m. show on 92.1 FM in Columbus, Georgia, and this show here on Blog Talk Radio. So we are definitely grateful to God that He's allowed all of you to be in a place or in a position of wanting to hear what's going on in this area of PRF. Unfortunately, everybody that's on the team, Shatara Sherwood, Adia Sanders, Warren Feaster, cannot always be with us every single show, but we're just grateful that you were here listening to whoever God leads this way. So, Mama, I remember last week we were talking about just the situation of church, and the reason we have to talk about church is because church is such a vital part of community. It is one of the, it should be the moral fabric of community. And when we don't want to have conversations that are really real, if I can put it that way, encouraging if they need to be. But as I said earlier on the 4 p.m. show, I said, you know, I make no apologies. I make no apologies if the knife cuts you on your right or your left cheek. It's not my fault. Not my fault. Some things just have to be said. And we can be real. We can be honest. We can be true. And we can say those things that need to be said and still do it in love.
Yes.
I can tell you that the situation we talked about last week, and I'll just give a little bit of a backstory, if you will, for those who were not with us last week. But I mentioned about a situation that happened at a church, and this had to do with somebody who was going through a tough time financially, going through a tough time with their possessions and their resources and their finances. Person lost their job for whatever reason, had no place to stay, so their possession of being in an apartment or a house was gone. Now they had to have a temporary shelter, and they were living out of a motel. And trust me, this was not a motel that you would want to live in. It's not a motel you would take your husband or your wife to and say, baby, let's go away for a weekend and stay at this nice hotel. You would not want to stay at this hotel, and I've seen it with my own eyes. And there's several of those type of hotels that are motels, if you will, around various parts of the country. So possessions were affected. Then had a vehicle, but then the vehicle, I don't know what happened to the vehicle, but the vehicle wasn't working or the vehicle got repossessed, but that possession was out of the picture. And all of that had a lot to do with when the person got laid off or fired from their job, their resource was gone, that resource interrupted their finances. Not having the finances interrupted their possessions. And all of these things are trying to connect with each other in this person's life, and they're sitting up saying, how in the hell do I do this? Just to put it blankly. How the hell do I get this done? And this was a man who had a family, had like two or three kids. That's not a good place that you want to be in. But can I share something with you, Mama, and the rest of us?
Yes.
Do you realize how many people are in church like this?
Yes.
And I don't care if it's only one person that's in a situation similar to what we talked about last week. It doesn't matter that if it's even one person. Because I think I know my Bible tells me that Jesus left the 99 to go after the one. So that one person is one too many. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that when we are supposed to be rejoicing with our brothers, when our brother, and I'm, can I give a loose paraphrase, Mom? I mean, I'll go to the word if I have to, but this is how I understand it, how I receive it. When my brother is being blessed, when my brother or my sister is being blessed, or good things are happening with them, or success is going on in their life, I should rejoice with them. Likewise, he also says, when my brother or my sister, how I'm receiving it. When my brother, let me go ahead and get, just go ahead and pull it out for some folks. Say, he ain't talking about the word. Okay, I'll go ahead and read the word to you. Let's see if it's too far off from what I'm saying as I break it down. But when you're going through something, when my brother or my sister is going through something, when my brother or sister can't has gone on to glory or and didn't have life insurance, and how that affects family, I should not feel. I should feel sad with them. I should feel sad. We should feel sad for the families who don't have life insurance.
Yeah.
We should feel sad for the wealth that is not being passed down from generation to generation, not lining up with the book of Proverbs, the wisdom of Proverbs, when she says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. We shouldn't feel happy. So let me go to what Paul says. If one part suffers, talking about unity in the body, if one part suffers, then all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, then all the parts are glad. So as I just came back from Austin, Texas, being out there for a couple of weeks, and there was such a homeless epidemic, if I will say it like that, in the downtown area, not far from the government buildings, where things are happening for the whole state of Texas, for people living on the street. Now, I don't care why they're living on the street. You can never start with anything of why somebody is doing something when you ain't even had enough courage enough to care and to say, as Brother Feaster would remind us, you ain't even had the courage enough to care to ask what's going on with them. So when I see that, then that should do something. My heart should skip a beat. Man, these are God's children. God created them just like he created me and his image and after their likeness. So I'm looking at this person who doesn't have a place to sleep at night except for outside. I'm looking at this person with one shoe on and the other shoe is raggedy. I'm looking at this person with a sign that says, we'll work for food or need money for weed. God bless you. All of these things going on, and yet and still, if we do not talk about it as those of us who God has called into the ministry of this gospel, then I'm going to say without any equivocation or hesitation, there is something going wrong with that person's understanding of, I just can't see how Christ could just walk past a homeless person like, oh, well, they're probably in that situation. See, here's how I know that these things happen, because I hear them in the church sometimes. I hear them from leaders behind closed doors. So my pastoral friends, my religious leaders, don't worry, I'm not going to call you out by name, but you know who you are because you've said some of those things, and we've gotten into conversations like, dude, are you serious? You really feel like this? The reason this person is in the situation that they're in financially is because they're not in covenant relationship with God. How in the world do you know what type of relationship this person has with God? You hear the things that come out of people's mouths, Mama?
Yes, yes, I have.
And then we'll stand before the people saying, I pray for you every day. Shut up, you lying. No, you don't. And the reason I say that, earlier I was talking about how so much conversation is going on in the news. I sat down and was just chilling out before the show, and I had CNN on because I can't stand Fox, and I sometimes can't take MSNBC. So I get with where they're going to have both people on of both persuasions regardless of what the situation is. So, you know, I can get some kind of – I can get some – doesn't have me sitting there and identifying with only one part of the situation, if you will. And there was so much talk about Donald Trump and so much talk about Hillary Clinton, and I'm like, you know what? Good gracious, will y'all stop? The reality is, if you are sitting over there as a Republican, you're not going to come out there openly. You're not going to be real about things and say among your other Republican friends, say among your other white Republican friends, say among your other white Republican Christian friends, oh, President Obama has did such a, he's done a great job in some of these areas. Oh, no, because, see, the Republican side of things says everything on the Democrat side is wrong. Everything on the Republican side is wrong. Now, Mama, you understand that I'm an equal opportunist.
Yes.
So you do know on the other side of the coin, right? The other side, you have the Democrats. It's really, really, really simple, you know. But the Republicans have done what they've done. They haven't done this. They haven't allowed this. They stopped this. And the reality is, it's politics. It's politics. So it's messy, just like ministry. It's not going to be easy. People make decisions for their political office and for staying in term, and because they don't want to go out and get a real job, so I'm going to stay here and do this. And all this kind of stuff is all out there. But at the end of the day, as I continue to say, see, I'm kind of like John. John's message was repent and be baptized, right?
Yes.
Repent and be baptized, right? Repent. So I don't care how many times I keep saying it, I'm going to keep saying it until God tells me to stop saying it and say something different. The reality is, all that is being said has no bearing on anything that happens the Wednesday after the election when something goes down in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Zero.
Okay.
Nothing that happens, nothing, has no bearing. Whoever it is has no bearing on anything that goes down that Wednesday after the election up in Philly. No bearing. Even in Texas, no bearing at all, because it doesn't work like that. And so,
yeah.
Mama, last week, I preached last week, and I didn't preach a PRF message, but something that I preached was really, really relevant. I preached from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And here, oh, my goodness, I guess this is where we're going to be tonight, baby. The message was this. Here's the title of the message. Forget the promises. What's your condition? Forget the promises. What's your condition? See, I'm going to maybe pull out my notes, Mama. I don't know. I probably wasn't even planning on going here, but it may be where God wants us to be tonight. God often is, he's a God of reciprocity, right? He's somebody that he's put so many messages out there for us to grab out of the Bible.
Yeah.
And in this particular case, he spoke to Solomon. And when he spoke to Solomon in chapter 7, it was a response to what Solomon had said, had asked of God in his pouring out his heart to God in chapter 6. And it is after a time when Solomon dedicated the temple. So Solomon was so grateful for having this awesome responsibility to be able to dedicate this temple, this magnificent edifice that was built for God, which came from a thought. Of his father David, who God did not allow him to build the temple, but God, watch this, God allowed him to give up all of these resources that he had. He didn't ask him to bleed the people. My goodness, let's go here. King David didn't bleed the people. No, that's not what he did. He gave. Bible says clearly that he gave. And as he gave, then the other people gave. See, that says something. But I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to beat everybody up on that one. But here's what I do want to say. When it was getting time for the dedication of the temple, Solomon, who was the leader, things were good for the leader. He's up there praising God. He's praising God. The Spirit of God was so thick. So then he gives this dedication, and he stood before the people. What he did, and I said this in the message on Sunday, I said, when leaders, when we as religious leaders And this applies to those who ain't doing it, because there's some that are. I just wish those who are, come on the show and let's talk about it, so people can know who you are when you're doing the things that you're supposed to be doing. Because if you don't say it, and if other people don't say it, who have a good understanding that you're doing those things which God really requires us to do, then the only thing we're going to hear is the negative things. And then it's going to be easy to hear nothing but Trump, nothing but Hillary. And you hear those things, and then next thing the question is, where's God in all this?
Mm-hmm.
So as Solomon stood before the altar, he stood before the whole community. He gets up on the altar. He gets down on his knees, mama. He kneels down. He lifts up his hands towards heaven. And then he goes into, O Lord God of Israel, there's no God like you in heaven and all of the earth. You keep your covenant and you show your unfailing love to all those who walk before you in wholehearted devotion. And then he goes on and on and on and on, and he talks about the promise that God made to his father David and the promises that God made to his children Israel. And then when he gets toward the end, he says this in verse 40, O my God, may your eyes be open and your ears attentive to all the prayers made to you in this place. So then we come now, it's coming to the temple dedication, right? Chapter 7 starts that off. And so the temple dedication occurs. You can go and read it in the first couple of verses. The people, they fell down on their face and they're praising the Lord. He is good. His mercy endures forever. So some of y'all who heard that before, y'all can go to chapter 7, verse 3. And watch this. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices to the Lord. You notice it said, then the king and the people. Okay, I'm going to come back to that. The first thing that it says in verse 5 is, King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 cattle, 120,000 sheep and goats. And so the king and all the people dedicated the temple of God. The priests took their position, so did the Levites who were there. They were singing, His faithful love endures forever. They accompanied the singing with music from the instruments King David had made for praising the Lord. Across from the Levites, the priests blew the trumpets while all of them stood. But the next seven, I'm not even going to skip over this. Solomon then consecrated the central area of the courtyard in front of the Lord's temple. He offered burnt sacrifice, burnt offerings, and the fat of peace offerings there. Because the bronze altar had been built, it could no longer hold the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, and the sacrificial fat. Now, verse 8 says this. For the next 7 days, Solomon and all Israel celebrated in the festival of shelters. A large congregation that gathers from as far as Lebanon in the north and the brook of Egypt in the south. On the eighth day, they had a closing ceremony, for they had celebrated to the dedication of the altar for 7 days and the festival of shelters for 7 days. Then at the end of the celebration, Solomon sent the people home. They were all joyful and glad because the Lord had been so good to David and to Solomon and to his people, Israel. Do you notice that all it said in verse 5 of who gave at this dedication was the king? It didn't say the king gave 1,000 cattle. It then encouraged everybody else to give 1,000 so that there was 22 million cattle there. No, it said the king gave. You know who's the greatest giver for PRF, mama? We are. Because if I can't lead by example as a executive director of this ministry, if I can't lead by example, what the heck I look like asking you to give? What I look like asking all the board members to give? So they don't know what I give, but I can tell you that I know we are the largest contributors to PRF, because it's stuff like this that causes me to do that. You give first because you're the leader. Okay, I'm going to keep going on. Congregation quiet. So here we go. So again, we go to this scripture, right? If my people, right? But there's stuff that happens before that. So in verse 11 is when the response comes to Solomon from God. Solomon finished the temple of the Lord as well as the royal palace. He completed everything he had planned to do in the construction of the temple and the palace. Then one night the Lord appeared to Solomon and said. So let's understand everything with this 2 Chronicles 7:14 and understand that there's more that was being said if we want the context. So what God said was, now this is after Solomon prayed before the Lord. And then after he prayed before the Lord, that's when they had the dedication, and they celebrated for 7 days. They celebrated for another 7 days. Solomon gives. He's the biggest giver. Then the people celebrate. They go home. And so now, one night, don't say when it was, doesn't say night, next night or 2 nights later, it just says one night, the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, I've heard your prayer. And I've chosen this temple as a place for making sacrifices. Now, here's 13. We're getting up to 14, Mama. Okay. At times, I might shut up heaven so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. Damn, that's like knocking it out the park. This is what God said. God just was glorified. Previous verses before. Sacrifices, burnt offerings, sacrificial fat, given up to God. 22,000 cattle, 120,000 sheep, given to the work of the Lord. And then here come God. I heard your prayer a couple weeks ago. And I'm just going to let you know. Now, see, here's the thing. God speaks to who he needs to speak to. He ain't speaking to everybody. That's why you can't listen to everybody. You can't listen to Fox sometimes. Probably don't hardly never need to listen to it. Can't listen to doggone MSNBC a lot of times. Probably don't hardly never need to listen to that either. Unless you're the other person. That way, you know, if you're a Democrat, you should listen to Fox. If you're a Republican, you should listen to MSNBC. That way you'll hear some truth that you probably never heard of before if you just listen to what's only geared towards your stuff. But God says, at times, this is what I may do. I may shut up heaven. Y'all can't get no rain. At times, I may have the grasshoppers just devour your crops. All that you work for, I may just have it just eaten up by insects that you're not going to be able to kill with some pesticide. At times, what I may do, because I am God, El Elyon, I have control over all of this, I may send some plagues among you. If you read this whole thing in context, that would have you saying, well, hold on. Why would God come back at Solomon like that after all that Solomon did to pray before the Lord and then dedicating the temple, allowing others in the community of Israel to be able to see him kneeling down as a leader in humility and lifting up his hands before God? Celebrating for several weeks. Why would God come up and give that? Because he's God. See, here's the thing that I think a lot of people need to realize. It's not always going to be where your crops are always going to be totally flourishing. It's not going to be where at times we're never going to have any type of drought in certain areas of our PRF. Is never going to be a time where sickness is not just going to happen, where we're always going to be healthy, where we're never going to get sick, where we're never going to be moving slower than what we used to be. It's not going to always be like that. So I'm praying, Mama, that there's people out there that are listening that are not being fed nothing but everything is all good.
Yes.
Because here's the truth of the matter. There's a whole bunch of people that listen to us, that follow PRF, because it's the real side of the gospel. The real side of the gospel is what I just read to you. At times, things are not going to be the way you want them to be. But glory be to God, there's some good news to this. God has given us a prescription for those ailments. And he gives it in the next verse, which so many people like to quote. If my people shall humble themselves, if my people call by my name shall humble themselves and pray,
yeah.
Most folk can't even get past that. Can't get past that. Because what people are looking for is, then I will hear their land.
Right.
So it's going straight to the end of the verse, if you will, but forgetting about what's in the middle. So that's why the subject on last Sunday was, forget the promises. What's your condition? See, if you never deal with the condition, you don't really understand the promises. See, so many people have been taught and brainwashed, have been religiously brainwashed to only just deal with the promises but lack dealing with the condition. And when you fail to deal with the conditions of a thing, it is a whole lot possible that that thing going to come back.
Yes.
Something can look like is the – see, a whole bunch of folk can file bankruptcy and never miss a beat in the eyes of society. You don't have a mark on your forehead that says you just filed for bankruptcy. So people are walking around us that just filed for bankruptcy but are going through pure D hell emotionally, spiritually, inside. Remember me telling y'all about this pastor in this community that said that he was giving up his church, had to give up his church? Not because they told him he needed to, but because he said, I cannot allow them to know that I filed for bankruptcy. Thing gets so real if we really want to deal with it. So again, forget the promises. And this is what I told him on last Sunday. I said, listen, all I want you to do is just suspend your thought of the promise for right now. Just suspend it. Don't flush it down the toilet. Don't send it up the river. But I just want you to get that out your mind about these promises. Because, see, God has made some promises, but those of us who are wise realize that with every promise, there's a condition.
Yes.
Let me try to correct that. The abundance of promises that God has made to us through various vessels and what he said directly in the Word of God, in the written Word of God, this Bible that we go by, has come with a condition. This one is no different. And you have to understand the conditions if you want the promise to be, if you want the promise fulfilled fully. Nobody wants a half promise. Well, if you half deal with the conditions, then you get a half promise. Because a half promise can look like a full promise, but it ain't really fulfilling. You can, Mama, don't we know that we can do something just enough for people just to be like, oh, we're good now.
Right.
We deal with that with PRF. People in going through situations need certain things for their jobs, need certain things to get into the apartments. There was a mortgage broker, I may be saying her title incorrectly, out of Arkansas, who called us about two months ago, and said she has people all over the country that are in need of learning about credit. She said, Dr. Dunlap, I can do it. It's not about me doing it, but there's something more that they need. And I said, okay, I agree, because you can learn about credit. You can learn some basics, but that doesn't mean that you understand how to operate within it, nor does it mean that you understand how credit operates according to God. And so what I explained to her was, I said, well, you know, before we go down this road, you know, I got to let you know, this is not a get quick credit quick scheme. This is not what we do, right?
Yes.
We have to allow the process to be the process. Because, see, just because you sit through a PRF session over two sessions, for example, of this one particular area of credit, doesn't mean that you got it. you may need to go through 16 sessions of PRF dealing with credit, depending on what your credit look like. Or it may be that you need to stay in that place because God may be already setting something up for you where you're going to need credit, but see, you're just looking at the car that you're trying to get, and God is like, you know what, but I'm trying to get this person ready for the house. Jazz need to hear that. I just need to get my credit just good enough, just good enough, get it fixed, not good enough for the car. When God is like, no, I need you to get it fixed, not just for the car, but for the house. But see, I can't tell you about the house because you're so focused on the car. The car may be half of the promise. The house may be the full promise, totally fulfilled.
Good.
Oh, my goodness.
That's good.
So let's deal with this Second Chronicles, Mama. We were going to deal with something else. So let's deal with this Second Chronicles.
Okay.
So it says, so God said, this is what I may just do to y'all. I heard what you said, but this is what I may just do. And then in verse 14, he says, then, that's the context, then. So if I do all these things, see, you got to, oh my goodness. If I do all these things, if I shut up heaven where you don't get no rain, see, for us today, depending on where we live, it's not the worst thing in the world if we don't get any rain, Mama. See, that's why we have to look at this thing in context. So if we don't have a drop of rain that comes in the next 2 weeks, for the next 2 weeks, here's the reality. I still live in a house. I still have running water. I still have electricity. I still am able to go and buy gas. I'm still able to put food into the house. So I'm really not concerned that it ain't raining outside because I don't take care of my grass like that anyway. I just don't have those skills. Amen. Right? So
amen.
That may be the case. That may be the case. So if it doesn't rain, then I'm not tripping too much because, you know, there's enough canned goods, right?
Yeah.
In the grocery stores that we can eat canned goods. There's enough frozen food in the grocery store. We can go buy some groceries. But see, if I was a farmer and we don't get rain for 2 weeks, that may be a problem. The rain is part of what's helping to bring finances into my household because the crops is what I'm going to sell as I reap the harvest and sell it to a consumer. So here's the thing. Just because it's one situation to one person and it's not affecting you doesn't mean that there's not something else that's similar for you. So, okay,
yeah.
I may command the grasshoppers to devour your crops. See, I'm a city guy, Mama. I barely know what a grasshopper look like. Is it a grasshopper or is it a mantis? Manatee, whatever those things are called.
Okay.
Is it a locust or is it a grasshopper? I don't know. But that's not something that really concerns me. Okay, what about the plagues? Okay, now remember, you got to understand with the children of Israel, right, with Israel, there was something really significant about some plagues. So they have some history of understanding 10 plagues. So when you look at this text, what I really believe I see God giving to us is, that's how he chose to deal with Israel, because that was what was relevant. God, I may preach this again on Sunday. That was relevant to their lifestyle. Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
So, Mama, can we put it into can we make it really plain for people?
Yeah.
So if I decide to shut down the internet. If I decide to shut down the internet, talk about God. If I decide to shut down the internet, if the internet is shut down, then does that not shut down Facebook?
Yes.
Does
Twitter.
That not shut down Twitter? Come on.
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. Yeah. If I shut down the internet, right? Does that have? I mean, you've been there. I've been there. When we don't have an internet connection, does that shut down?
Yes.
I shut down the internet. Does that surely affect the PRFministry.org website? Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
If I shut down the internet, does that not shut down email?
Yes.
Okay. So, because everybody's not farmers, right? So, grasshoppers rain, that doesn't really resonate with us too much. If I shut down the internet, if I don't allow oil to come up out of the ground, regardless of how technologically advanced your equipment is, if I don't allow any oil to come out of the ground, because see, there's something that we have called gravity. So something in the ground has to come up. So if I don't allow gravity to move, good God. We have to look and say, if I don't allow, I mean, not if I don't, but if I allow that type of thing to happen, if I allow you to lose your job, all 3,000 of y'all in the company, and they don't give you a severance package or a bonus like the CEO is going to get because they got that in their contract. If I allow you to lose your job and they get their stock options where you just refuse to put in a 401k, but if I just allow that company to be shut down, if I allow your family member to die without insurance, if I allow that to happen, if I cause that to happen, you see, I'm not going to make anybody, I'm God, I'm not going to make anybody get life insurance. I'm not going to do it. Them guys, Dr. Dunlap and Sister Mary and Shatara and Dia and Felfeast, they've been talking about this till they blew in the face. So I ain't going to force you. But if I allowed, I just say, hey, you know what? You're going to take out some folks. If I just take out 10 people out of your 25 out of your church and nobody has life insurance, if I just take them before they get it. See, we have to be able to do something to see what God is doing right now. Oh, here go a good one. This one really going to hit, mama.
Okay.
If I allow somebody to be the front runner of the Republican Party that talks crazy, just crazy and reckless, to be president, has already let so many cultures know what he feels about them. And no matter how well the Republican Party is doing what they can do to change the tone of things, we've already seen the spots on the leopard. If I allow a woman to become president that got some lying issues, like it really don't matter. That's not the worst thing in the world, though. If I allow that to happen. So all the promises that's being made about I'm going to do this, I'm going to make tuition free, that's what I want to do, that's what we're going to do. And see, it don't matter who it is in the office, mama. It really doesn't. But if I allow it to happen, this all to happen, mama, as God. God says, I'm going to allow all this to happen. Because he's going to allow some stuff to happen. You do know this,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
He's allowing
yes.
some stuff to happen. He's allowing
right.
a whole bunch of folks going at each other. He's allowing a
yeah.
whole bunch of folks putting their Republican affiliation before their Christianity, even though they're trying to think it's one and the same, but Lord knows it's not, and I pray for their ignorance. And vice versa, on the Democratic side. He's allowing some things to happen. So, if whatever it is that happens that affects people's PRF, because whoever's in office has an impact on PRF.
Yes.
Whoever it is, not just at the national stage, even down in your county, your borough, your commonwealth, your state, your ward. So people better get on the ball and realize that God ain't, he ain't playing, but he ain't about to force some people hands. He gonna do what he wanna do because he's God. He has all power in his hands. And he has all control. So if he allows any of those things to happen, right? Whatever it is. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes, okay, how about this one? Because he said, at times I may do this, I may do that. At times he may allow that money to be lost in the slot machine that a person really didn't have, but didn't want to follow some PRF principles that he's laid out for them and want to try it the easy way. So at times I may just let you try to take that easy way out. Yeah, yeah. But the good news is, in verse 14, he says, then. So after he allows some things to happen, which is where so many people are, God allowed a whole bunch of things to happen in people's life, here's what I encourage folks. You're in the right place right now. Because if God has allowed you to be unemployed, if God has allowed you not to have life insurance, but you're still living, if God has allowed you to not have a will, but you still have your mental faculties where you can still put one in place, if God has allowed you to have some savings but hasn't taken it all because of disobedience, whatever it is, he says, then, and here's the key, it's not hard, then if my people. Now, can't just say if my people, because we all God's people, right? We all God's people because he created every human being on this earth. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what nationality. I don't care if you don't like those Muslims. Then guess what? God still created them in his image and after their likeness. Oh, my goodness. Is that real? Yeah. Yeah. It can't be. He didn't say I only created Christians in his image and after their likeness. He said I created them.
Yeah.
We started it off for everybody. Okay, all right. So if my people can't stop there, who are called by my name? Uh-oh, so now we start getting somewhere.
Uh-oh.
Now, we start getting somewhere now.
Hey, yeah.
Who
all
are
right
called
now
by
my
name.
Amen.
So now we got to deal with who in the heck are these people who have been called by my name? Okay, so let me try to think about this. Let me think about this. So
okay. So
you who are a Christian and you are you also claim Republican affiliation, and you see what some of your Republican friends who may also or may not be Christian or just Christian and not acting Christ-like, but they said some really nasty things and they put up some really negative images of President Obama, and they're white, but they're doing. No, we can't be talking about those folks, right? He ain't talking about them. He can't be talking about them, Mama. He can't be talking about them being my people, because my people don't do crazy stuff like that. Not trying to hold on to my name. No. Okay. So, okay, if my people, so that black person who somebody got shot for stealing somebody's car by the police, so the police shot somebody for stealing a car, and just a whole bunch of chaos in the situation, and they shot the person, then the person dies, and so... people get up there and they so outraged at the police, but the person didn't get shot in his living room saying grace. The person got shot after stealing the dog's car, after he stole somebody's possessions. and then it led up to that. But we ain't gonna deal with that part. We only gonna deal with the part of what the other person did. So, oh no, well, can you be talking about them? Those people? Well, I mean, can't be double. It can't be hypocritical, right? So he can't be talking about the hypocritical folk, you know, that act like it's all police, right? That's doing a bunch of crazy stuff. But okay, so who in the heck are my people? Oh, you're talking about the church folk. Church folk. Are we talking? It's my church folk, my people who are called by my name. So, oh, well, I know Dunlap. Dunlap's that Christian. But Dunlap be smoking weed like me. And I know I smoke weed every day. Those people, mama. If my people, those people who, you know. No. Nah. Okay, well, who is it? Oh. Is it that pastor that said he beat up his wife a couple weeks ago behind closed doors with other ministers? Like, it didn't matter. Like, whatever. If my people were called by my name, so evidently you're talking about pastors. See, here's the thing. We all got some stuff going on in our lives.
Right.
But what God is saying is, if my people who are called by my name, so you got to know your doggone identity. And when you know your identity, that means you have to do some things that make it livable up, that make it where you live up to that identity because of that name.
Yeah,
see, when you
amen.
Got saved, when you got saved, God ain't say you had to walk around saying you was a Christian. But some folk, it probably was better that you just shut up. Keep your salvation inside. Praise God. Just do what you do. But don't be walking around and talking about I'm a Christian to your Muslim friend. When you get ate up because you don't even know half of the word as well as they do. In this our book. If my people who don't know what the word of God say on with PRF, okay. So if my people, so there has to be this understanding of who my people are. And if my people cannot be identified, then I'm going to be willing to say the people ain't out there. You only know a tree by the fruit that it bears. So there has to be some fruit that comes from being my people who are called by my name. So he didn't just say my people. He said my people who are called by my name, which means that there has to be a separation between my people and my people who are called by my name. That means we have to do some things different than everybody else. And if people are not able to see the things that we're doing different than everybody else, when God decides to allow some things to happen at times, how we react and how we respond to things make all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. If my people who are called by my name. So we may only get to this first one, Mama. I don't know. So here's the deal. So the first thing he says was, if my people who are called by my name shall do something, and that something that he said they should do was humble themselves. Okay, so hold on. Humble themselves. So if my people who are called by my name should tell everybody else they need to be humble.
I don't think so.
No. I mean, I'm a Christian, so I should be able to tell other folks about being humble. No. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. Oh, so that means it's only got to be the pastor. The pastor needs to be humble. Oh, no. The pastor needs to tell y'all, the members, y'all need to be humble because y'all need to submit to my authority. No. If the people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, which means everybody who are called by my name, if you humble yourselves. So here's the good thing. You're talking about this thing of humility. And so if God shut up the heavens, if he commanded the grasshoppers to devour their crops, if he sent plagues, if he shut down Facebook, if he shut down social media, if he caused gas to go up, if he caused gas to go up to $22 a gallon like he did several years ago, then if my people shall humble themselves, which means, uh-oh, that means you may need to carpool with somebody. What? Hold on. You may need to ask somebody for a ride to work. What? Yes. You may need to humble yourselves in some areas. See, See, this thing is not a behind the scenes type of thing, mama. This thing is an out front type of thing.
Right.
Humble, being humble ain't just keeping your mouth shut. That's not it. How many people, when things are not going so well, just actually go before a place of humility before God and before man? Again, what did Solomon do in chapter 6 of 2 Chronicles? He stood up for the altar. He knelt down. He lifted his hands. And he did that before the entire community of Israel. That was humility on behalf of the leader. And if you think about what this really means, it means that we're willing or we make a decision, a conscious decision, to subdue our passions for the sake of God and mankind. Even when we know we may be in a place of entitlement, or we know that certain things should be going our way, and we say, you know what, it's not worth it. I take number two. Because the Bible says those who are humble shall be exalted. And the only person that can exalt you is God. Man can lift you up, but God exalts.
That's good.
So you can be like, Dr. Dunlap, Dr. Dunlap, Dr. Dunlap, gassing my head up all day long. But the only person that got me through that dissertation was first and foremost God.
Amen. Amen.
And I don't hear God calling me Dr. Dunlap all the time. Oh, yeah, I'm grateful. I am so thankful, and the Lord knows I'm so thankful it's over. But the reality is the work got even more intense. To be honest with you, I was better off as a student. Because now there's a higher level of accountability to have the capital D with a lowercase r and a period in front of my name. The same way when it comes to having R-E-V, period, in front of my name, and others as well. So to be honest with you, it really takes some honesty. It really takes some doggone encouragement, if you will, to be humble. See, It's a thing of humility to realize that, man, as I sat down to eat dinner, I give it a better example. As I sat down and ate in the hotel restaurant, or the restaurant connected to the hotel, really good food. I'm talking about, oh, man, it was good. I could not – I say this not to boast me at all, but I know for a fact that I thought about – individuals who did not have half of what I was eating. I thought about them. It took some humility to pray for them. But watch this. What did I tell you? Humility is not something that you do in the dark. It's something that you do in front of. So it took a level of humility to make sure that, okay, these bananas that I have in my room that I got from the grocery store while I was here, let me just take all these bananas and give these bananas away as I'm riding up the road, because I know I'm going to see somebody who's homeless. And it also took that same level of humility for somebody to receive it. So if you want people to receive through humility, then we, if my people who are called by my name, then we have to show that humility to others so that others can receive that humility. And as others receive that humility that we show, then now what we've done is put ourselves in a position to go to the next thing. And that's engaging conversation. Because so many people's issues, mama, when it comes to PRF-related matters, whether it's the money side, whether it's the credit, whether it's the wills, whether it's the insurance, whether it's the inheritance, whether it's stewardship, whether it's debt or credit or how they give or how they how they pay or give tithes, regardless of what area it is, we know that people need help.
Yes.
People, I said this earlier, nobody's gonna send anybody to PRF if all we're doing is putting the tone out there that everything is about the Republican Party, right? I don't hate them, but I don't hate them. I don't hate them old Democrats. I don't hate them, or I don't hate them. You know, I love everybody. Really? Why you got to preface it by saying you don't hate somebody then? Ain't no way in the world you're going to pray for, I said this on social media, there's no way in the world that anybody's going to pray for the people who they've been talking about for the last year. Hard. You ain't going to pray for that person when that person comes in office, because the reality is somebody's going to lose in a couple of months. A whole bunch of folks going to be on the losing end of things. Starts now. It should have been started. And I don't know where it's not started, where it is, but just from what I continue to see. So God really is, he's, his word is true. It's my people. To call by my name, to humble themselves. Mama, go ahead. I've been.
Oh, wow. I'm just so full here. And so much has been said that it's just all true. And especially when my interpretation of my people would humble themselves, and I hadn't even thought about breaking it down. Breaking it down the way you broke it down. And it does make a difference. And as you were speaking, then I thought about people that keep things stirred up, gossip.
Mm-hmm.
Gossip
mm-hmm.
about things that they really do not, they know what they see, but they don't understand what they see because they don't know the story.
Mm.
They don't know there's always two sides to the story. Then some people don't tell you everything. They tell you what they want you
mm-hmm.
to know, you know. And you know, as people, you know, we take it and we run with it, and
mm-hmm.
we don't really know. And then when we find out the truth, you're like, oh my goodness, I didn't know that. Well, now
mm-hmm.
you done slandered the person's name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you slander the person's name. That's it. You know, and that's part of, to me, being humble. I see a lot. This Lord just shows me a lot of things that see happening. And I had to learn that God's trusting me with this.
Mm-hmm.
This is, he's trusting me to see it. He's not trusting me with this information for me to talk about it. The people need, I mean, I don't know that. Some of these people, I mean, I just see them and you know, they just come before me. And so I just pray for them. That's all he wants me to do. He's not telling me to do anything
right.
else. So I just pray for them, but I don't have to go and gossip about what he has said to me, because that was for me. He chose me, and he entrusted me with this information. And I tell you, it was I heard a sermon on there that can God trust me with his secrets? And that really touched my spirit, because I usually think about my friends telling me things. But now, yes, God shows us things. He shows people. He gives us visions. Sometimes I dream, and I say, now, I don't know this person. And in my own mind, I be trying to figure out, no, just pray. Whatever's going on, Lord, you know, whatever's coming up in your spirit to pray about this person. I don't know how I got over there. But to me, yes, I do, because it's, again, being humble. It's being humble, not, oh, my gosh, God told me this about this, and God told me that to make myself feel good, or maybe to exalt myself in front of someone else, you know. And this is just so good because I'm thinking all my people is us that are born again.
Mm.
That's what I was really thinking. But it does say, if my people will humble themselves And how many times have I read that over and over and over and said it over and over and over again? So I just thank God for that, giving me a good understanding of what "in my name" means. Amen.
Mm.
It's so good.
Mm.
And here's what I'll say as a closing comment. There's more to it, and just being a believer is more to it.
Yes.
There was a time when your name meant something down here on this earth. See, as a Dunlap, I got two other Dunlaps. And if those two Dunlaps understood the name Dunlap, there's some things they would not even be trying to do because it would interfere with the Dunlap name. And if they decide to go out there and tarnish the Dunlap name, then there's consequences for that. And people will not just look at them, but they'll also look at me.
Yes.
If I walk around with a chain around my neck that says I'm a Christian, but yet I'm cussing everybody out, I'm talking dirty to people, I'm spewing hidden racism things that are not so hidden except for people that are just consciously unaware, it tarnishes who God is and their perception of who God is. So it makes people not want to be with that. If I had a son that was constantly in and out of jail, it'd be hard pressed for me to be like, young ladies, got a nice good, I got a son here that, you know, I need a Dunlap the fourth. But my son already got three and he's in prison. So he's not taking care of the three. But yeah, I need a fourth. They're going to say, is something wrong with the daddy? That he would say this about the son. So I'm so grateful that we have the opportunity to evaluate our name. One of the things that I teach, or that we teach, Mama, in our session on credit and debt or first cousins in that course is about character.
Yes.
When it comes to credit. So there's several lessons that we have that deal with character and how credit, how that applies to any of our credit situations, whether it's establishing credit or reestablishing credit. I'm all out, Mama. There's no more gas in the tank for tonight. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, and we'll pick it up next week. And if God tells us to go back to where we were last week, we'll do that. But I just, you know, I may preach this again on Sunday.
I'm so full. I am so full. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for being
Amen.
Obedient to God and going this route. Thank you. And I thank God also.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give him credit.
That's right. Here's the deal. At the end of the day, people are going through things. A lot of people, you who are listening, are going through things, and we are here to help. God has just placed us in a very unique position here at the PRF Teaching Ministry and the PRF Institute to really be able to help people, walk with people through a lot of their various situations. This is not a ministry that is designed for people that are just going through it and are below the poverty line, because trust me, there's a whole bunch of people that we deal with that are lawyers and judges and attorneys and in the medical profession and pastors that don't have it together either in certain areas of their PRF. So we just encourage you to get involved. We encourage you to go to the website, prfministry.org. Go check out our website. You'll be able to see that there are so many things that are out there for you to be able to access. Our Facebook page is PRF Teaching Ministry on Facebook, or if you go to facebook.com/PRF, that will take you right to our Facebook page, and we just encourage you to to get involved, put some things out there on the Facebook page. Let us start engaging. The reality is this, Mama. So many people have questions about so many things that so many other people have questions about. What happens is if nobody asks those questions, if nobody brings up those questions or concerns, then people stay hidden in the shadows. And God is saying, I need you to come out the shadows. I don't need you holding on to certain things with PRF in your life. I need you to be able to express those things. And one of the greatest platforms that we have is radio, because nobody knows your name. Nobody knows anything else about you except for what you share. So that's one good thing. So that space, part of the definition of conflict transformation is to seek and create safe environments. And this is one of the ways that God has placed it in the atmosphere to create a safe environment to be able to talk about these various matters of PRF, where you can get answers that you can say, you know what, here's what the Word of God is saying, and know that we're not just going to pump you up to tell you everything is all right. Because the reality is, I don't know how to tell you that it's all right if you got to deal with negative credit for 7 years after you mess up. But I can show you in the Word of God how when their people, when God's people was in the same similar type of situation, not being in a good place, how he was able to give them some words, and I say words to encourage them, because it gave them what they needed. So when they came out of that situation, lo and behold, they were going to be in a better place.
And one thing I want to say that just hit my spirit when you talked about safe environment, and nobody knows your name, so that means that because you have a problem, your name can't be tarnished by the listeners, because nobody knows your name. So this makes it a safe environment, and gives you the power of choice, that you can choose to share, or just choose to share without anyone knowing who you are. That's a safe environment. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
And that may be the start. See, that's the start. That's where we start. We start right there, and we let God do whatever God is going to do. And you never know, you may be that person standing before thousands of people saying your testimony, talking about what happened to you, saying the things that you didn't want to say. You didn't want to tell people you didn't know how to tithe if you've been in the church for 25 years. You didn't tell people that you never tithe being in the church for 25 years, being in a leadership position. You didn't tell people that your credit was tore up for the last 15 years. And you didn't tell people that you were robbing Peter to pay Paul, and then giving it back to Peter and giving it back to Paul and flip-flopping it back and forth to John, Mark, Luke, and Bartholomew. You didn't tell people that initially, but then you stand in front of people, thousands of folks, saying, this is the way it used to be.
We're
not playing with it. That's the reality, Mama. We're not playing with it. We have to just give it raw to people. So, again, I just encourage everybody to just come back with us next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on the PRF table. If you need to reach out to us, you can do so at area code 267-437-7999, area code 267-437-7999. Our email address is admin@prfministry.org, admin@prfministry.org. Mama, I really want to just keep going. I could talk for probably about another 2 hours, but we're going to go ahead and let the listeners leave tonight so that they will come back next week. And if you are, just look on our calendar. You'll be able to see a lot of the good things going on our calendar, as well as the show information for where we are at 4 p.m. every Thursday, Eastern Standard Time. So we have another show called Living Life More Abundantly, which is taken out of John chapter 10, verse 10. And understand, we want people to live in the fullness of what God actually has for us as those who has been created in his image and after their likeness. After their likeness is not homelessness. After their likeness is not people starving in third world countries. People starving in, and I'm talking about America too, because sometimes we act like a third world country, no matter how we want to really look at it, with all the amenities that we actually have. People live and look like they're living in a third world country. So we have no place to talk about any other country. They have enough concerns and issues within our own territory here in America. So, again, let me just go ahead and stop before I just keep on going. So, Mama, much love to you.
Much love to you too, dear.
Next week, and let me say this also. You know, we need people's support. So, just if you see, have it in your heart on how to support PRF, whether it's through volunteering, whether it's through financial giving, whether it's sowing Seeds of Love, so that we can take PRF to certain locations and have scholarships for individuals who want to attend a session but do not have the funds or the resources to be able to do so. You'll see where you can do that on our website. So God bless you. We love you. We will see you next week. Hopefully we get to see you on Thursday at 4 p.m. But if we don't, we definitely want to see you back here at 8 p.m. And again, we want people to join in. So if you're listening online through the archives, the way you will call in each and every week is at 347-215-7934. That is the number for the PRF table when we're live on the air at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday evening. So, again, for all of us here at the PRF table, myself, Dr. Nate Dunlap, Mary Ann Williams, also known as Mama, Tara Sherwood, Brother Warren Feaster, Reverend Warren Feaster, and Adia Sanders, we say God bless you and we love you. We'll see you next week.